afternoon. Today is Monday, December the 17th, 352nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the bank dude, John Dalby.
Brian, it's always a pleasure to see you and to be with you.
Wow, do I feel excited to be
Merry
here.
Merry Christmas to you.
And to everybody at the Dalby household, whether it's the work or the house. This afternoon, we'll talk a bit about the holidays, some of the different things that come into play around the holidays. Certainly, we're at the religious elements, and we're not going to be proselytized, or at least I don't feel prepared to do that. John may whip into it a little bit. But around business and around the area, some of the different things that are going on, kind of a, not necessarily a retrospective show, but perhaps a show to pause and to consider. So, we'll pause and consider. And then we'll be back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. But before we do, you really want to go with that one, huh?
Well, absolutely. I think it really applies to our radio show here.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Dalby has selected the following warning to all personnel. Firings will continue until morale improves.
Or you could say firings will continue until this show approves.
Yeah, well, they could clean the house out.
Yeah, there you go.
I like this one, a couple down. I don't worry about crime in the streets. It's the sidewalks I stay off of. A lot of times, John, we'll hear about this phrase called New Year's resolutions. Great. But most of the focus is on our personal life. What about New Year's resolutions for our professional life, whether it's our business or our current position? Would you have any insight on whether it's budgets, how to do a budget, how to project into the future, how to consider some of the options? When you sit around the magic table with the magic group of people and you brainstorm what the next 2 years at the bank are going to be, where do you start?
Great questions. And just for everybody who's out there listening, if there is anybody at this point in time, I had no idea this question was coming. So as far as...
I don't telegraph too many of the questions, I hope.
You never do.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, didn't even know the topic. So there we go. Okay, so strategic planning, and we're talking in the context of New Year's resolutions. The way we do it is, first of all, we gather all the information that we can on the condition of the industry that we're in, the conditions of the markets that we're in, get some idea of what conditions are changing, both economically, demographic, and so forth. Align that with our strengths and weaknesses, and then take a look at what are our opportunities and how do we take advantage of them.
So let's even with that basic, we're going to go even deeper.
Okay, let's go deep.
Industry information.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know which ones are accurate? How do you know which ones are just blowing smoke? You can go to some of the financial television networks on cable, and they got guys saying, sell, sell, sell. And they got guys saying, buy, buy, buy. And they say, others, stay out of gold. And others are saying, climb into gold. How do you know who to trust and how to align as sources that either reflect your approach and your attitude or guys that are on the ball versus the guys who are trying to make a name for themselves and they're throwing things all over the place?
Well, you're kind of mixing things there. What you're talking about is some of the market charlatans, if you want to call that.
Industry experts.
Right. Industry experts, you know, if you're, depending on what your industry in now industry is, you know, you're going to have a different set of experts, obviously.
But how do you find them?
We find them through, one, peers, talking to peers. Two, trade associations, and there's a number of them in our industry, the Western Independent Bankers, the Independent Community Bankers, California Community Bankers, you know, all kinds of groups that you can go to and you know, get an idea of different consultants, different economists, and so forth.
So you don't go to GQ?
No, I don't. Advice. I don't.
Or for fashion, any advice, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if somebody walked in the room, they'd look at both of us and say, you need fashion advisors.
Yeah.
I understand that. And so, you know, we're very selective. And then we go with the people that have got a consistent track record. And also they have to kind of align with some of your... some of your policies, and you know, what are your priorities? You know, who you are, and so forth. So that, you know, because you've got groups out there that are very aggressive, very, you know, and there's all kinds of consultants. You know, yeah, of course, an expert is anybody who lives more than 50 miles away, right?
So in your industry, it's a little bit more regulated than, let's say, the shoe retail industry.
Correct.
So when our shoe retailer is looking at making those choices, perhaps that innovation is something that they want to embrace rather than one that they
really
can't do.
Yeah, fashion's a whole different animal because, you know, to me, yeah, obviously look at me, the way I dress, I don't know much about it. But, you know, fashion's one of those things where, I mean, it's very subjective as to what's going to be a big hit next year and what's not. I mean, you know, you've got a whole industry of people that are getting rid of the inventory that were mistakes in the fashion industry. So
that's where we go, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we look like we do.
Yeah. Stand out from the crowd. That's
yeah,
our
exactly.
attitude. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of you know, subjective, you know, and so you got to really look at who has predicted. If you're in the shoe industry, who has predicted what shoes are going to sell, which ones are not? Are you in a niche, you know, comfort shoes, athletic shoes, running shoes, dress shoes, women's shoes? You know, what's your niche and where's it going? So, yeah, you got to make some really good decisions on inventory.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from the Bank Dude, John Dalby.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea, gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today, they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, as we're putting together kind of our New Year's resolutions, where to look, how to project forward in our business or in our hope for business even, you talked about the trades, looking to see what peers are projecting and who or which experts or trade associations that those that you feel comfortable with, where they subscribe to. Okay, that makes sense. But what about the customer? Are things like consumer confidence a big issue when you're looking at, okay, anticipating the next 12 to 18 months?
Yes.
How do you project that one? Because I think we've all talked over the years, you know, how insightful the government has been, and they'll put a Syntex on thinking they're going to be selling the same amount of product and generate all this money. And the market responds
by reducing revenues.
And they walk
away, right.
And they don't realize 50% of what the anticipated revenue was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a whole other topic. You know, the Laffer curve, what side are we on, you know, all of that stuff. So, yeah, I know we're running a great experiment on that, but you were talking about consumer confidence. Consumer confidence generally follows, you know, parallels the economy. So then you got to look at the economy and say, okay, we're currently in a very, very slow recovery. So consumer confidence should be increasing ever so slightly, but not significantly. Although, if we go into the fiscal cliff, the economists that we use believe that we'll see a 4% reduction in GDP growth. And since we're at 2% now, that puts us at a negative 2. That takes us back into recession. Consumer confidence will erode. So those are the things you got to look at. Are we gonna see Washington actually deal with some of its problems? By all appearances, neither party really wants a solution. So guess where we're going.
Now that's in the macro sense.
That's correct.
Whether it's the trades or any of those other components we've talked about, can you, without having a huge budget, narrow into a regional or into a local?
Yeah, I would go to the Humboldt State University Economic Department's website. They have a newsletter that's produced every month that has a great deal of information about what's happening in Humboldt County. We use that on a quarterly basis. That's reviewed by our board of directors, and we use that in all of our other economic newsletters, and do a presentation on where the economy is, where it's heading, so forth. It gives us an idea of you know, are we moving up or down and so forth.
But what about the distinctions that, within the cities? Arcata, let's say Humboldt State has a 10% increase in enrollment. Arcata's going to be looking pretty sharp. If it doesn't translate
into Fortuna. But I don't
believe Fortuna
can have a 10%.
Well, okay, then let's go with CR, because CR can.
Correct.
Okay, so Eureka sees a bump. Does that necessarily translate to someone in McKinleyville or somebody in Fortuna who wasn't directly impacted with student populations going to that particular institution?
Yeah, there isn't really any place to go other than maybe to the labor department at the county. He provides a great deal of really good information based, and it's fairly current because of the current census. But other than that, you're just talking to folks, looking to see if people are moving in or moving out. Are there jobs being created, or are the jobs going away? For instance, the southern part, you know, the Fortuna area, we've seen a lot of mill closures. We've seen a lot of jobs go away. We're not seeing those jobs pop up anywhere else. But we know that area has been harder hit than maybe Eureka or Arcata. You know, those are things that you can look at.
What's your surprise in the mix? If somebody knew where you looked or where the bank looked, what would be the one area you go, really? What's that one?
Well, I think the McKinleyville real estate recovered much faster than I thought it would. Arcata really didn't see the decline for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden prices just kind of fell off a cliff one day. It was about a year and a half ago. I don't recall, but I just remember talking to somebody, and those prices had held, and one day I saw an appraisal, so I started calling around going, hey, what's going on? They said, well, that's actually what's happened, and that surprised me. But I think we're starting to see some gradual increases, some positive things happening. We still have a lot of inventory, especially in southern Humboldt, of lots, and it's going to take a long time to absorb those. But we're seeing some positive things happen.
What's more important, local or national trends? When we hear,
I only look at national trends to give me an idea of what could happen locally. Because really all that matters to me is locally.
So it is location, location, location.
Absolutely.
Will you go out 100 miles on your radius, or 50, or 20, or 10?
We generally look at Humboldt, Del Norte, and Trinity counties.
State doesn't matter.
We look at the state, but it's,
well, okay.
Again, it's
other
it's
than
just,
curiosity.
Just, exactly. But we're pretty insulated from what the state does, other than Sacramento, of course.
Yeah.
They always seem to have some influence.
That big guy with the robe and the scythe? Yeah. Pay attention to him, even if it says governor on it.
Exactly.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. Johnny, considering what trends may be out there or developing New Year's resolutions for business or professional, what about for the guy or gal who is looking for some kind of a position to improve their position? Okay. We can argue what the real unemployment level is in the state and what the real unemployment level is in the county. But how does somebody get themselves to the spot where they can really start to improve their lot?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'll shoot the circus.
Brian has to get up and make some changes to the board here. We'll do this. I'm sorry. Some funny things are happening here in the studio. In fact, everybody's now abandoned me. I'm on my own. I can say anything I want. Oh, Brian came back. Sorry.
Circus left town. I'm back. It wasn't that okay. Fun to watch the lion anyway.
There you go. Okay, so you were asking me how somebody can improve their position.
Make First, themselves more employable or a more desirable potential employee okay. in a market that might or might not have that demand.
Yeah, you have two issues. One being, as we were talking, attitude. The other is aptitude. And, of course, it's your attitude that not your aptitude that drives your altitude. That was a great Zig Ziglar that, you know, has passed away, but it really is true. One is employees need to understand that when you're working for somebody else, your job is to make them money. Because that's if you're in the private sector anyway. Your job is to do a function that creates value for your employer. And the value you create has to be worth more than you're being paid, okay? And so, strangely enough, many people don't get that basic concept that
you're here to help us make more
exactly.
money.
Exactly. And so keep that in mind. The more money you make for your employer, or if you're in the governmental sector, the more you accomplish for your supervisor or your department, the more valuable you become. And so that attitude is very, very important, that you're grateful for what your employer does for you, even if they can be, some are less pleasant. But you still have to have a good attitude
funny.
About it. Right.
Yeah.
The second piece is work on your skill sets. And even if you have to make sacrifices like, doing extra work, volunteering to come in on weekends to learn other skills, whatever it is, every opportunity you can, learn another skill. And those things will make you more valuable and move up. Last thing is leadership. You do not have to be a supervisor or a departmental head to be a leader. And the reason I say that is leadership is identified by followership. And if you're in a department or a group and you're the leader, people will follow you, whether you're the boss or not. Now, I'm not saying you want to go, it's a mutiny against anybody, but I'm looking for people, if I'm going to take them.
Be a people person.
Right, to be a supervisor, that when they go somewhere, they can convince people to go with them. That they follow. So if they say, let's go do this, people follow and they agree that's a good idea, and there's a followership there. So look at yourself. Are you a leader? You know, do you have management's abilities?
So are those skill sets that can be developed, nurtured, or if you don't have, or never have thought of yourself as?
Yeah, the hardest one to nurture. Yeah, and there's a great book by Brad Smart. And I'll try and remember what the name of the book is by the time we're done, but I think he only wrote one book.
Living on the Flatline.
No.
Okay.
But he talks about different competencies and which ones are easily changed, which ones can be changed with great difficulty, and which ones can't be changed. And so that, to answer your question, some competencies are easy to change. Some are hard, but can be done, and some can't be done. So you got to look at that. And the last thing is you got to know yourself, your strengths and weaknesses, because you don't want to take a job that you're not going to excel at. And
or enjoy.
Yeah. And generally you'll find you enjoy what you're good at. So I too many times I would say some of the greatest failures of mine as a leader or as a manager has been to put people into positions that they couldn't succeed. And you destroy a career when you do that, because all of a sudden now they're branded as a failure. So you got to know that for yourself. What is it you can do, and make sure that when you accept a new challenge, that it's one that you can excel and succeed at. There's my career advice.
Thank you very much. KINS News. Doesn't get any better than that. We're going to take a break and reflect upon those pearls of wisdom. You ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, okay. You can break.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church, starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website, HWMA.net.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We are back talking shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, the long-term picture for for folks who are either currently employed looking to better, looking to become employed, or employers looking to increase their business or to keep their business going, are there places that all can go to share ideas, thoughts, to see, looking for answers to their questions right now?
Well, I mean, there's employment, you know, the Department of Labor, and of course, employment.
Yeah.
I don't think they get used enough. Placement agencies, you know, there's a couple of them here in town, and they do a pretty good job. And we've utilized them when we've needed to, and they do a real good job of screening them ahead of time so that you have an idea of
but things
what you're
like
getting
into. Attitude. I mean, you can't.
Attitude's a tough one. I've had some people that interview extremely well, and they come across with a wonderful attitude, say all the things you want them to say, then they arrive, and you might as well have put a turd in the punch bowl. And it's just amazing how one...
Their best sale has already occurred.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How one person can destroy the attitude of a large group and bring the whole group down. And it's not pleasant, but I've had to go through the process of just removing those people. And all of a sudden you see the morale of the whole group and the productivity goes up and everything is better. So... there are people that you got to be careful of hiring. And
so is that simple stuff like either building resumes if you are a potential employee, building your resumes and talking to people and being sure that what you project is accurate, and as a potential employer, of checking out references, talking to friends and neighbors, doing the informal outreach as well as the formal outreach?
Yeah. References are probably the best source of really finding out what somebody's like. especially if you can talk to former employers. You know, obviously, if somebody's currently employed and wanting to come across, it's
timing.
It makes it very, very difficult to get that kind of information. And then, strangely enough, Facebook is.
Now, will you go there to find, or to find the exceptional?
Facebook?
Somebody, or to find somebody?
Well, first of all, I'm not on Facebook, so I've never gone and looked at any of that stuff. Yeah. But oftentimes, when we're looking at hiring somebody, all of a sudden, somebody will go, "Well, have you seen their Facebook page?" No, what's on it? And it gives you an idea of it's their amazing interests. What people that are looking for work will put on their Facebook page.
Yeah, isn't it, though? We talk about self-explosion. Now, there are people who are career counselors like there are business consultants. Do you put validity in either of those two to help out the business owner or the potential employee?
Absolutely. In fact, we do, kind of an informal career counseling ourselves in which a lot of these personality trait assessments, DISC, Myers-Briggs, there's a whole bunch of them out there, and we've used a number of them, mostly to help our employees understand what their own strengths and weaknesses are and how other people might perceive them, how they should perceive other people, and work with people that are different. I want different types of people in a department working together because then they have different strengths and weaknesses. But sometimes when somebody thinks differently than you do, you think they think wrong. Well, no, they just think different, and they have strengths that are your weaknesses and so forth, so try and match those up. But that's also career counseling, giving you an idea of what it is you're good at, what you're not good at, even to the point of how you think.
Or how you dress. And to bring it around full circle there a little bit. So if people are interested, are there websites that you would recommend that they go to?
I don't have anything formed,
Okay, just kind of start doing your search and just...
Exactly.
Just as you have peers and trade associations, same thing in this arena also. Do some digging and do a little research.
Yes.
Thank you for participating. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.